Kirby Monsters is a podcast about facing the unknown.
I start to float away from the earth.
Have you ever smoked crack before?
We're all kind of frantically searching for meaning.
They have the neurotransmitters.
I think we're all juggalos in some way.
Yo, we're not broken.
Crazed delinquents.
We're in our last days, young man.
Listen to Here Be Monsters,
the podcast about the unknown,
on the KCRW iTunes page.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
Books. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gunnar Tindberg? It's a rhetorical question, sir. But where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt, and this is Bookworm. Today, my guest is Bruce Bauman. He's a novelist. His most recent book is Broken Sleep. It's published by The Other Press. And I'd say it's a kind of wild take on the family dynastic novel. This family has been divided into so many parts and for so many reasons that the book is about trying to form a family back together. Sometimes the family forms together in the shape of a band. Sometimes the family forms back together in the shape of a political party. Nevertheless, however they form, they're always dysfunctional and they're always falling apart. Members are always leaving, new members are turning up, fathers turn out not to be fathers or bad fathers, mothers turn out to be false mothers or fairy godmothers. No wonder the word broken is in the title, Broken Sleep. Tell me about the initial family you imagined and how you broke it up into this novel.
Well, the initial family was actually two families. I had two basic ideas. One was Alchemy Savant and Salome Savant and the rock band artist family. And the other was somebody who I didn't have a name for, but I was playing with the biblical Moses, born a Jew, raised by an Egyptian. And I couldn't tell either story for a while. And then it hit me. They should be together, and the Moses character and the Alchemy character are brothers or half-brothers. And then from that, the repairing of the many fractured families came to be. When I first told a couple of people about combining that, they said, a rock and roll novel with this introspective history professor who was ill? And I said, yes, and somehow it came together, and broken is a key word for the title, and because everything is broken and it's an attempt to fix it. Some things get fixed, many things don't.
The Moses character is named Moses Toomer, and because in this novel, name is destiny, he has leukemia.
Right.
He discovers that the woman who raised him is not his mother. He's looking for a marrow donor, and this occasions the thing that happens in old-fashioned novels. He has to find his real parents. Right. He has to find them in order to undergo an operation. Salome Savant is a madwoman and an artist. She alternates. Rarely are the two simultaneous, although sometimes yes. Her art involves explosiveness. The book begins with a performance that involves the death of a man who is also dying of cancer. There are loads of doubles in this book, and the book keeps exposing us to things that happen again and again.
You said one thing that I think is very important. You said, like in the earlier books and in novels, it's more set out on a journey. And I think it's my idea was Moses' doctor is named Hank Fielding, which is Henry Fielding, and
Tom
Jones. and so that was purposeful. At times I like to call the novel a picaresque, I don't want to know, postmodern type thing, because I love the picaresque novel.
Always in that kind of novel, there's a foundling.
Right.
And the foundling is looking for his true parents. His adoptive parents are often better people than his actual parents. But nevertheless, authenticity is very important. It's just in the same way that the band may be a group of horrifying people. In this case, the band is called the Insatiables. And like most Americans, they always want more. And they are a band headed by alchemy savant, at least apparently, Salome Savant's son. She knows that art involves magical change, and so she names her first made biological creature alchemy. It's a great name for a band leader. Yes.
Yes. I struggled with his name. At first, I had his name as Twilight Fingertips.
No.
Yes. And it became Alchemy, and I was really searching for a name, and that's what he was. And also, as Salome says, as I was reading some Rimbaud and the Alchemy. Alchemy du Verbe, the alchemy of the word. And I said, this is alchemy. It just came out. I had all these names written down. And once I said it in my head, Alchemy Savant, leader of the Insatiables, that was it. Off we went.
The question is, how can these people fit together? And I began to think that this is a novel about America, say, from the 60s on, when all sorts of breakages, the kind of attack that music launched against the dominant culture, drugs also, sex, these characters are not made to be faithful to one another. Throughout the book, they're more or less learning how.
Yes.
So everything in this book is about the things that prevent unity in our time.
Yeah, you hit that exactly right. And the idea of it's starting in the 60s. When I was in college, I studied history, and it was talking about how America had a nervous breakdown in the 60s. And Hannah, who is the adopted mother of Moses, has a nervous breakdown. And out of her breakdown sort of comes Moses' need to find, it's not direct, but to me it was indirect, to find this new America. I mean, Hannah says when she tells Moses, you know, Salome is your birth mother, you know, the 60s just passed me by. So she kind of represents the kind of person who couldn't deal with that. And all the other characters, some of whom are, most of whom are younger, Salome is not, are trying to fit together in this new America that we're still trying to discover, for me, even 50, 60 years later.
I'm talking to Bruce Bauman about his new novel, Broken Sleep. Now, Hannah, being of another generation, she's the only character in the book who's not ambivalent. She has raised Moses in a very loving, motherly fashion, but it's the old-fashioned kind of good mother who's good by not telling the problems. Moses never knew that Hannah was not his mother. Moses never knew that his father was actually a Nazi hiding in America as a persecuted German Jew. So he has no idea of where he comes from, that he's the child of a mad woman and a madman. And all of these characters, this younger generation, they're trying to clamber their way. Is that a word, clamber?
No, but it sounds, I know what it means just by it sounds.
They're trying to climb their way back to sanity from a previous generation that fell apart. If America had a nervous breakdown in the 60s, the world had a nervous breakdown during the world wars. And these, the adult, the grandparent generation, is a very strange generation because the artist, well, let's say it, because it's revealed very quickly in this novel. Who are the parents of Salome Savant?
For real?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never been asked that or given it away. The parents of Salome are Greta Garbo and the person she thinks or doesn't think is her father, adopted father. He and Greta Garbo did have an affair. No. I've never given that away before.
Well, it's not a giveaway. It happened.
It happens. It's revealed late.
Very early on in
yeah.
the book.
Yeah.
At least the Greta Garbo part.
Garbo, right off.
Right off. We're not spoilers here.
Right. No. And it doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter because this is a novel where anything that looks like a spoiler will reverse itself within 100 pages. You will be surprised again. But, you see, Greta Garbo's signature phrase is,
I want to be alone.
I want to be alone. And these characters are people who want to be together and don't know how. Salome, Greta Garbo's daughter, wants the aloneness of being a singular artist, an artist unlike any other. She knows that originality is a form of authenticity, and she's going to give birth to the biggest rock star in the known world,
right.
Alchemy. And these people are going to have to struggle to figure out how does a singular artist live in a group with others? How does a mother who comes from a mother who wants to be alone become a mother to a child who needs a mother?
But there's something I want to come back to about the aloneness, because when Moses meets, because it's very important, that sort of dueling nature, to be in the group, to be in the family, and to be alone, that Moses, when he meets Alchemy the first time, Alchemy is in a Zen monastery having a very hard time being alone, and he's really happy to be rescued, even if it's for a terrible kind of reason. So that was very conscious on my part that he should meet him when he had been alone, that Moses should meet Alchemy when he had been alone.
Now, tell me, Bruce Bauman, was it your intention to write a book that at any given point could not be summarized?
Not consciously, but I'm happy that it can't be summarized.
Because what I found was I could follow the book. I knew where I'd been, but I couldn't say at any point where I'd be going.
Right.
And it seemed to me, again, that that's kind of a parable for America right now. We know where we are. But where we're going to get to within the next year, forget the next year, the next 3 months, difficult enough. And it seemed to be a novel that really wanted to give a reader the experience of not being able to know or guess the future, that we are, as much as one of these characters wants to run for president, in order to do so, he's going to have to invent his own third party. Do I remember correctly that party is called the Nightingale Party?
Yes, it's the Nightingale Party. Yes, that's it. I would say one of the things about not knowing what's going to happen in the book and in life and in politics is Moses is a history professor for a reason, because even if we look back, I think if we look back at Ronald Reagan, I personally thought that his presidency would lead to a much more left-wing country, and I was completely wrong. And so whenever I think I know what America is going to do, I realize I'm wrong. And in the book, and personally, life takes weird turns that one could never expect. And for me, in that way, the book is not realism, I guess, but in that way, it's realistic. And even I give away certain things. As you say, there are no spoilers, like what's going to happen. It's evident from early on that alchemy is dead by the end. But I didn't think that mattered. What mattered to me was how we got there.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to Bookworm from the studios of KCRW. I'm talking with Bruce Bauman about his book, Broken Sleep. We'll continue after this short break.
If you're listening to Bookworm, chances are you're a big reader. Connect with other book lovers. Join our virtual book club on Facebook. Go to kcrw.com/bookworm for more info. Thanks.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm, and I'm talking with Bruce Bauman about his latest book, Broken Sleep, published by Other Press. It's about a man, Moses, who makes two life-changing discoveries that lead him on a journey that is funny, heartbreaking, and beautiful. We're going to hear a little bit of Moses and his heartbreaking discoveries. Bruce Bauman reading from Broken Sleep.
Okay, this is the first chapter where Moses starts his road to discovery. Your ghost is alive. Through the phone, Moses could practically feel Sedona Cherry's self-congratulatory pat on the back as she breathlessly relayed her discovery. He sighed. She continued. Old and in failing health, but alive. Not only is your father still kicking, he owns a condo exactly 3.6 miles from your door. 40 years of intractable angst and 3,000 therapeutic miles later, and he ends up in spyglass distance from my home, Moses thought. What a cosmic joke. West on Venice, north on Ocean, all the way to, hey, Miss Cherry, stop. How he wished his father had been dead, until he again remembered that he needed him alive. Professor, there's more. Professor, he hadn't told Cherry that he was a professor of American history in the irrelevant department in the Southern California College of Art and Music, a.k.a. SCAM, in Pasadena. Okay, slowly, though. He also has a place in Rio, not sure of that address, where it seems he spends most of his time. As of last night, he was here, in L.A. According to all official records, Hannah is your birth mother. Are you positive she is not your mother? Nothing about Moses' past made sense anymore. Malcolm Toomer had slept with his mom. Hell, they were married. Moses was born on December 8, 1958, and for 40 years he had believed Hannah had given birth to him. Unfortunately, I'm sure. If she doesn't know who your actual mother is, I don't think there's anyone left alive who can help except your father. This father had stuck around for 2 years after Moses' birth before, according to Hannah, evaporating into the suburban air. Except for a failed search at the age of 17, where certain scents before going dead had hinted toward South America as his ultimate landing place, Moses remained unknowing of where Malcolm lived or if he was even still alive.
Bruce Bauman, reading from an early chapter of his novel, Broken Sleep. Now, the person he's talking to, Moses, mm-hmm. is a private investigator.
Right.
In this novel, people have to hire people to find out who they are.
Right.
What I found myself thinking was that Moses, who's a history professor, and a guy who grew up, like many of us, loving rock and roll, what could be better than to discover that his half-brother, Alchemy, is the most famous band leader in the world? So it's as if this is the dream come true for a rock and roll fan, to turn out that the people that you've been reading about, listening to, studying, hearing about their affairs and marriages and mismarriages, he's my brother.
Yeah, that was fantasy. But as you know, as it goes on, sometimes he's not a great brother and sometimes he's a super brother.
Yes, but it's sort of like you are formally invited to enter the world of your dreams.
Right.
To be as close as you want to be to the world of stadiums and rock and roll and promiscuity and the best drugs that can be gotten by anyone in the world and parties that no one else can attend. What history teacher expects this?
No history teacher, and maybe that's why I left my graduate program after the master's program.
Yes, you were a history teacher, weren't you?
Right, and I was the only person in the NYU PhD program among my students and other professors who was going to rock and roll concerts at CBGB's till 4 in the morning. There was a disconnect. I was never going to be a rock star, but I had that fantasy. I'm not sure many other people in my department had that fantasy.
But I think, you know, one of the subjects of the novel is how does a person in the age of celebrity deal with the fact that he's not a rock star or not a famous artist or not a television star? This is the book that asks for all of us, how do we live outside the world that everyone desires entrance to? It's a fascinating thing because it's like being thrown out of Eden, and it feels even a little bit like these biblical names, Moses, Salome, are part of that sense that there was a great good place where everyone once belonged, and now hardly anyone is there, and if you are, chances are you need to spend time in the insane asylum like Salome.
Right. No, I think the question of celebrity and what is normal and the yearning, people, our presidents go on the 11:30 p.m. shows. Bill Clinton played, saxophone. And Groucho Marx was one of my favorite people, and he always said, I don't want to belong to any club that wants me, but we've lost that. Everybody wants to be in that club anymore. I'd really like to know what Groucho would be saying these days.
Oh, who wouldn't?
Yeah, right.
But you see, also, what's wonderful is that this novel, Broken Sleep, has usually, there are books that have information at the back telling us where certain references come from and quotes, but I found myself thinking, it's not just that Moses would like to be in a rock band. This novel would like to be written by Grace Paley or Thomas Pynchon or any of its heroes. This novel, the pages of this book,
that's great,
has heroes. And the famous first sentence of Gravity's Rainbow, a screaming comes across the sky, appears here, slightly variant. What is it?
I just changed. I think I made
the screaming comes again across the sky.
Right. Yeah. I just added that. Yeah. That's it. Thank you for remembering my book better than me. But anyway.
Well, that's my job.
But that's it. Yes. I put in the again.
So always, I would say, this book has sibling rivalry and is confused about its parentage. And parents turn out to be not really who they seem to be, because although Grace Paley is famous for a lovely New York Bronx Jewish inflection in her sentences, and there are what seem like Jewish characters in this book, mm-hmm. it turns out they only have learned to sound Jewish. They are, well, what is a novel about? A novel is about characters tricking each other and in turn tricking the reader. And in those tricks, revealing a deeper truth. Yeah?
Yes, absolutely. The deeper truth. The self-evident truth is not the truth.
Right. Not in our lives, not in books, not in our families. Self-evidence is no evidence.
Right.
Oh, well, this has been great fun, Bruce.
It sure has. It's really been.
I recommend to everyone, Bruce Bauman is a writer living in Los Angeles. His work is really just being discovered, although he has an earlier novel called And the Word Was. This is a novel that's full of meaning and aborted meaning, disappeared meaning, reemergent meaning, and the revelation that man's search for meaning is a still ongoing search.
I hope so. If we ever give up that search, we're finished. And if I ever give up that search, I'm finished. Yes, I think you nailed it.
I've been talking with Bruce Bauman, author of Broken Sleep and published by Other Press. You can comment on today's show or read an excerpt from Broken Sleep at kcrw.com/bookworm. Download the podcast from kcrw.com or from iTunes. You can also listen on demand with KCRW smartphone apps. My co-producer is Connie Alvarez. Alan Howard is associate producer. The technical director is Mario Diaz. Special thanks to my assistant, David Sobel. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms. I am a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcasts, the most recent ones, at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mayle of Sparks.
A bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm when Edmund DeWall is our guest.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air, new music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.